Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look at Jesus' response. We're going to look at the Lord's Prayer, where his disciples, it's actually in the Luke's account, says, "Lord, teach us to pray." And he invites them, and he teaches them this prayer. And so we're going to look at it actually in the Matthew account as it is found right in the center of the Sermon on the Mount. And an interesting thing about the way that the Scriptures are constructed, when something finds itself in the center, it is of the most importance. And so one could argue that the most important part of the entire Sermon on the Mount is this prayer. And so I've entitled my sermon, Prayer Matters. And what I hope is that to do is a couple of things today. I hope that you'll leave here today recognizing that prayer does indeed matter. The words that we speak, the conversations that we have, they do matter. And what I also want to do is I want to talk a little bit about some of the matters of prayer. I've been asked to start this series, and admittedly, I go, how do you start a conversation around prayer with something that is so broad, so unique, so different in the experience for all of us, and yet there are some commonalities around that, and there are all different types of prayers. And so what I want to do is give you a few, actually three kind of foundational pieces for the matters of prayer. I want to talk today and share with you about the who of prayer. Who is the object of our prayer? I want to look at the why. The why do we pray? And then I want to look at the what. I want to look at what for many of us are what I would call default prayers, kind of our default way of praying if we don't really think about it. And then I would invite you to move that into what I'm calling difference-making prayer. And we find answers to all three of those in the first few phrases of the Sermon on the Mount. So let's read our text, and then let's pray for God's Spirit to lead us and guide us, and then let's dive in to the who, the why, and one of the what's. I'm going to read I'm going to read from Matthew 6, verses 5 to 15. I'm going to focus on verses 9 and 10. But I just want, I think it's important to get the entire context of this prayer. So here's what Jesus says in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And I quote Matthew 6, verses starting at verse 5. And he says, "And when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room and close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Now, right away, some of you might be thinking about this prayer that we're going to have in a few moments, a congregational prayer, prayers of the people, whatever, where one of you is going to come up in public and pray for everybody. So clearly this conversation on prayer is nuanced, and that's all I'm going to say about that. What I want to do is just invite you to see some of the complexities, nuances, and mystery in prayer. Continue reading. "And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans." Pagans, simply those who do not know God. "For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them." Why? "For your Father knows what you need even before you ask him." And then our text for today. "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And then that little addendum that at the end that we like to keep off because it makes us feel a little uncomfortable. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." I'd love to come back and preach a sermon on that, but I've been instructed. I mean, Nick was saying he wanted a really long sermon today. And so if you all agree with Nick, then I could get into that, but I'm just going to focus on verse 9 and 10 and leave that for someone else. Who, why, and what? Let's pray together. Father, on this day of the baptism of your Son Jesus, where the heavens were torn open and the Spirit descended upon him like a dove, and your voice was heard, "You are my Son, you are my beloved, and with you I am well pleased." We thank you that we gather here today with that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living within us. And because of the complete forgiveness of all of our sins that we have just spoken to each other, the cup of our salvation, we too get to hear your voice speaking deep into our being. You are my daughter. You are my son. You are my child. And I love you. And with you, I am well pleased. And I like you. And so, Holy Spirit, as we dive into this mystery of prayer, I pray that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you want us to hear. As we move through these phrases that are familiar to so many of us, I pray that whatever we need to hear today, that we would hear deep within our being. We pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, starts with the question, or it starts with Jesus saying, "This then is how you should pray." And the first thing that Jesus says, the first instruction that he gives to us, directly connects with the who. He says, "And when we are to pray, we are to pray our Father." And many of us suffer from what has been called familiarity bias. Many of us have heard this prayer hundreds of times, prayed this prayer hundreds of times. And for us, many of us are like, "Yeah, of course, that's how you pray." What I want to acknowledge and what I want to, first of all, share with you is what that word Father means. And what I would invite you into is to see how incredibly revolutionary this invitation to address God as Father really was. Tim Keller, in his reflections on this text, tells us that there's only 7 times in the Old Testament that people were invited, when in the context of prayer, to address God in this deeply relational way as Father. And if we were to take an English comparable, many of us don't use the word father to address our earthly fathers. We'll use the word dad, or sometimes, especially when we're younger, like some of these young ones that were up here just in a moment, they might even call us daddy. And what Jesus is inviting us into, as we think about how we are to pray, is to pray our daddy. And if that makes some of you feel uncomfortable about the closeness that brings, and about what about the fact that God is, the great word is transcendent, is way above me. And if that wells up in you, this feeling of I'm not sure that I feel comfortable with addressing God as daddy, that is exactly how those original listeners, when Jesus said, "This is how you are to pray," would have felt. Jesus is instructing us to connect with God when we pray as dad. It doesn't mean that we can't use the word Lord. It doesn't mean that we can't use other titles. It doesn't mean it's not exclusive. But as you move through this series, I would invite you to recognize and remember that as we pray, we are not praying to this far-off, distant, divine ruler. We're not praying, though God is a ruler over all. He's not distant, but he's ruler over all. That Jesus invites us to come and say, "Dear Dad, dear Dad." It's for this reason that every morning when I awake, I write down 4 prayers. I keep a 5-year journal. I have 4 prayers for every day, and then they're aligned with the day, and so I get to see what was happening in the year before, and it's just this fantastic practice to see how God is at work in my life. And I entitle the first prayer, "Dad, Help." It's a prayer where I come to my heavenly dad and I write down something that I need help with. This morning I wrote down the fact that I am very introverted. And coming into a community of people where I don't know anybody fills me with anxiety. I said, "Dad, help me with that. I believe this is what you want me to do. Dad, help." And then I write down 3 dad thanks prayers. The science around that is if you write down 3 things that you are thankful for, you will have a better outcome, a more shiny, summary outcome on life. And so I write down 3 prayers. Dad, thanks. Dad, thanks. Dad, thanks. Dad, help. Dad, thanks. Our Father, our Dad, is the way that Jesus instructs us to pray. And from there, he adds on the phrase, "Our Dad in heaven." And this is not the location of our dad. This is not that we live on earth and that God is somewhere off in there. He's talking about the character of our Father. If Jesus invites us to have this deeply intimate relationship with the God of the universe through prayer, then we need to know who this Father, this dad is. The hymn, the modern hymn goes, talks about, by Chris Tomlin, talks about God as a good, good Father. This is what Jesus is saying. Our heavenly Father, our heavenly Dad. And as we look at who the object of our prayer is, this is the answer. In every space, in every time when we come to pray, we may have requests, we may have questions, we may have thoughts, we may have ideas, we may have all kinds of different things that we bring to God. But the who of our prayer is a good, good Father, a good, good Dad. And then Jesus, with the next phrase, gives us our why. Why do we pray? We come to our good heavenly Father, Dad, in that space. We go, "Dad, I want to honor your name. In this life, in this prayer, in what I do, in what I say, in all of my life, my one desire, and through this prayer, whether it is requests, whether it is praise, whether it is seeking forgiveness, whatever those prayers are, Dad, I just want to honor your name. I want the world around me to know who you are, the goodness of who you are. I want the brokenhearted to know that you are indeed the one who binds up their hearts and saves the brokenhearted." And if there's one thing that you take away from this sermon today, I hope it's this. I offer this picture to you as a picture of who and why and how we are to pray. The picture that I have is one where me as the young boy and the young girl, young child coming alongside and just placing my hand in the hand of my heavenly dad. My good heavenly dad, my perfect heavenly dad. And that together we get to figure out what this life is all about. We get to figure out the problems. We get to figure out, I get to offload some of the things that I am concerned about. And Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Take your hand and put your hand heavenly dad. Or if you want to be most true to the text, put your hand in your heavenly daddy. And then say, how can we do this life together? If you've had the blessing of having young children in your life, maybe kids, grandkids, those type of things, I want you to think about those spaces where this child comes along and just wants to please you. I remember years ago, our son Hendrik, he had got a drill set for a birthday, Christmas. I forget the reason why, but we were going to build this little rack for his baseball bats and my hockey sticks. And so we went and we built this thing together. And I'll never forget in that place of me teaching him how to use the drill. And I'll never forget of him, is this right, Dad? Is this how this works? And him wanted me to be take delight in him, to be happy with him. This is the who and the why of prayer. This is the foundational piece. And it's from here that Jesus moves us into some of the first petitions. And for here, I want to now move a little bit to the what. I want to talk a little bit about that kind of default prayer that many of us have and invite you to take what we have just learned in a few moments and exchange that for a difference-making prayer. Because many of us have a different kind of foundation for prayer. Many of us, when we think of our foundation for prayer, it's much more like this. Prayer is about what I think the divine ruler should do. So there's things going on, there's sickness, there's wars, there's different pieces, and they may be really good things. I may be right. In fact, I often think that I'm right about what, I think I am right about the things that need to be done. But often, our default way of praying when we come to God is, God, you are the ruler, and this is what we need to do, and it consists of informing God about what's going on. We spend time doing that. The text tells us Jesus, the Father, knows what you need even before you ask him. We spend time advising God, telling God what needs to be done, or we sometimes spend time correcting God as well. You see, for many of us, and I would invite you over this next week to take a look at how you pray. For many of us, what we pray is what not, what Matthew 6, verse 10 is not. We pray, God, may my kingdom come. Would you bless my plan as we look at the externals that are going on in and around the world? Bless my plans. Bless what I think needs to be done. Bless this. Take my kingdom come. And again, the main point is not whether you are right or whether you are wrong. It's the focus of your prayer on what I think. My kingdom come. And then as we move from the externals into the internals, may my will be done. May my hopes and my desires and my dreams, again, these can all be good things. May these be done. And would you give me heaven at some point in the future? Would you give me kind of the good things or the right things or those pieces, whatever that looks like, may you give that to me in the future? For many of us, our default posture of prayer is we make it all about me and what I think and what I want. And whether those things are right and altruistic or not is largely irrelevant. I don't know what you're all planning to do for the rest of your series, but if you would like a book to read through, a study to have on prayer, this is a book entitled Prayer Revolution by John Smed, Rebuilding Church and City Through Prayer. I would highly recommend it. If you would like the name of that book, I would be happy to give it to Stephanie and she can pass it along. In the middle of that book, John talks about the Lord's Prayer. And I'm not going to read all that text on there and all... You can read that. What I want you to focus on and notice what is where the arrows are going. The default way of our prayers are often focused toward self. And often we talk about self in a negative way, but when we pray, we are bringing our very self and putting our hands in the hands of our Heavenly Father. The issue with the default prayer is not that ourselves is in the middle. The issue with the default prayer is that the arrows are pointing toward us. My kingdom come, my will be done, and give me heaven at some point in the future. Whereas the Lord's Prayer invites us to see that as we put our hand in the hand of our Heavenly Dad and we say, may your name be honored, that all of these requests, that they are all things that point out from us into the world around us. And as we look at what Matthew chapter 6, verse 10 actually says, after we have put our hand in the hand of our Heavenly Dad and say, may your name be honored, then Jesus says, and then pray, may your kingdom come. Another word for kingdom in its fullness is that word shalom, well-being, life as it is meant to be lived. And as you head out into the world, as I was introduced today, our responsibility and what we get to do in this coming week is we get to do what Jesus did. And so as we pray, as we put our hand in the hand of our Heavenly Dad, Dad, may well-being, may goodness, may the fullness of life flow into me and then out of me into the world around us. And the reason that I use the word practice there is because as we have just gathered at the table, it's not about fundamentally about getting it right and getting it wrong. You know, the scriptures tell us, Paul in Romans chapter 8 says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. And difference-making prayer. What would it be like if every morning this week you gathered and you put your hand in the hand of your Heavenly Dad and said, in this day, I want to honor you. I want your name to be honored. And may your kingdom come. And would you give me eyes to see where shalom and well-being and fullness of life is meant to come into this earth because of me. The reason I show up here today is not because I love standing up in front of people and talking. In fact, I loathe it. But the reason I come here today is because I believe that if all of us could put our hands in the hand of our Heavenly Dad, that this world that is so hurting and so chaotic would be just a little bit better, would just be a little bit more like Jesus wants it to be. And the next week, a little bit more and a little bit more. Jesus says, your kingdom come. Talks about the externals. Then he says, your will be done. And many of us, because our prayers are focused on us, really struggle with what is God's will for my life. When we see that our way of life and the way we are to pray is it moves out from us, out to others, it actually becomes very simple. What I wanted, as I said in my introduction, and I borrowed this from John Mark Comer in Practicing the Way, as followers of Jesus, we get to be with Jesus so that we can become like Jesus, so that we can do what Jesus did. We just prayed about doing what Jesus did. We have spent an hour, and I'm probably going over my time now in this moment, about being with Jesus and being with each other. And Jesus' will for your life is simply this. You get to become like him. What if in this coming week you put your hand in the hand of the Dad, said, let me see those places where shalom may come and help me to become more like Jesus. The text tells us that in all things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, God works for the good of those who love him. And often we cut that off there. And it's so unfortunate because the next part of the verse says this, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. Predestined for heaven when they die? No, predestined them to be conformed to the very image of the person of Jesus, who was the firstborn of many fathers or many brothers and sisters. God's will for your life is that you become like Jesus a little bit more each and every day. And then may this happen today. The beginning of the story in Genesis 1 starts with heaven and earth together. The end of the story in Revelation 22 starts with heaven and earth together. And Jesus says, put your hand in your dad's hand. Seek to honor his name. Pray, may shalom, your kingdom come. Help me to become like you, Jesus, and may that happen today. As we draw this to the close, and worship team, if you want to come forward and start grabbing, getting ready to lead us in the final song, you can go ahead and do this. This is our final song, or my final slide for today. If there's one thing that you remember from today, I hope it is that the who and the why of prayer is fundamentally about extending that hand. And if there's a second thing that you take with you, is that God's will for your life is that you become like Jesus. And I want to ask you, what if every one of us here headed out from this place, and as we prayed in this coming week, what if we did this? If we said, Dad, I want to honor your name. May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me be the first, and then our worship team will lead us in our song of response. Please pray with me. Oh, Father, our dear Dad, we come here as your sons, your daughters, your children. And because of what Jesus has done, we get to move into your presence as your beloved. And we get to realize that you not only love us, but you like us. And that you've uniquely gifted us. And you've put us in different places and different situations where we get to be Jesus to a world that so desperately needs it. And so I pray for Community CRC as they learn how to pray. I pray that this foundation of taking and putting our hand in your hand. Dad, we thank you that you invite us to do that. We pray that today and tomorrow, for the rest of our days, that we would become more and more like Jesus so that we could do what Jesus did. We pray that you would build your kingdom here, first in us and then through us. We pray this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen.